All right, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 7. Years ago, I heard a story about a missionary who had gone to this obscure place, and he'd gone with an interpreter, and as he drew near to this village, and the people began to see, and they began to get really excited. Their eyes kind of got big, and they began to talk in excited tones, and finally he looked over at his interpreter and said, "What are they saying?" And he said, "They've told me that in their tradition, generations ago, they heard that there would be a man with white skin that they had never seen before, a man with white skin who would come to tell them about God." And so talk about a ready audience to hear the message of Christ. This missionary was sent to this place at this specific time for this specific purpose, to fulfill God's purpose for his life. And God had paved the way and had made ready the way for him to minister. God has consistently sent people. I remember Esther. You remember the story of Esther? She is in the harem of the king, and Mordecai says, "Look, Esther, Haman is planning the killing of the Jews. Perhaps God has brought you to this place for such a time as this." God had a purpose for her in her family, where she was, for that moment in history to fulfill the purposes of God. A lot of times we think of our purposes as perhaps being small. You say, "Well, these things in the Bible, these people do all these wonderful things, and but I'm me and so forth." Well, no. You and I have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been gifted by God. We have been filled with the Spirit for God's purpose. And I believe with all my heart that God has a purpose for each and every person in this room, on the internet. God has a purpose for us to fulfill in this life. Probably more than one. But he has purposes for us to fulfill. Now, in the scripture that we're looking at today, Paul is talking to them about gifts. We've read this scripture the past couple of weeks, but there's actually a Greek article that sometimes is left untranslated. I noticed, I looked at different translations. Some would say our ministry, our service, or so forth, and they'll translate it our. Or your, something like that. But this Greek article can be taken in such a way as to mean the specific usage of your gift that God has for you. Okay? So it's not just you have a gift of service and you do the same thing everybody else with a gift of service does. No, you have a specific area in which you use your gift of service. Okay? Now the reason I think that's significant, as I begin to think about that, I thought, yeah, that's true. God puts people in a church to fulfill a certain function in that church. He puts people in a family to fulfill a certain role in that family. God has a specific function for us in the various spheres of life that he has placed us in. And we need to fulfill those purposes that God has put us there to fulfill. And that's what this message is about today. And we can do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. The title of my message is Fulfilling God's Purposes. Look with me at verse 7 of Romans 12. It says, if service, he's been talking about the gifts, if service, use it in service. If teaching, in teaching. If exhorting, in exhortation. Okay, those three gifts are the ones that I'm kind of honing in on. You could translate it this way. If service, use it in the particular service. If teaching, use it in the particular lane of teaching that God has given you to fulfill. If exhorting in these specific method of exhortation he's given you to fulfill. The idea is that there may be more than one person with a gift of exhortation in our church, but you may use it in different ways. One person might use it with a musical gift, and they encourage, each time they get up to sing, they encourage the body of Christ. Another person may use it in ministering encouragement through just a word of appreciation that is given, or perhaps through a card that's sent in the mail. So you kind of get the idea. So fulfilling God's purposes, for what aspect of your life does God have purposes? Well, first of all, I believe he has purposes for your location. Your location. Your geographical location. There is a specific role for you to fulfill in Clinton, Tennessee. Or if you live in Knoxville, Tennessee. Wherever the case may be. God has you geographically where you are for a reason, unless you're like Jonah and you're running from the place God's told you to go. In that case, you need to surrender to him and be where he's called you to be. We had a lady in a couple of my first church. This lady had been holding a grudge against another lady at another church. They had left that church and they had come to our church because they were angry and holding bitter feelings towards this other person. And God ministered to her through the Word of God about the issue of bitterness, and she repented of that and went back to her former church. That was a loss that was a good loss because she was being obedient to God. So your location's important. God put you here in Clinton, Tennessee. He's put you in your neighborhood for a reason. He has put you in the school that you're in for a reason. Or whatever sphere, wherever your location may be. If you go down to the community center, he's put you at the community center for a reason. You get the idea? So God told Jesus Christ, I want you to go and minister to the people of Israel. Jesus said of himself, I minister to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. God had given him a geographical location in which to serve. Now, that the results of that have gone all over the world. But for that moment of time, Jesus ministered primarily to the people of Israel. Paul heard a Macedonian call, didn't he? And he responded to this dream that he had. He went to Macedonia, and some of the greatest ministry of Paul's entire ministry was done in Macedonia. God had a specific place for him to serve. Matter of fact, the book of Acts is organized according to location. You will receive power, and after power has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Locations, okay? Now, there'll be specific locations within that uttermost parts of the earth. But the idea is that God has given us a location. Philip was sent to the wilderness to witness to the Ethiopian eunuch. God sent him to an unusual location to speak to a man who would then, as tradition tells us, start a church in Ethiopia that endures to this day. So we just really don't know what God's up to, but he has put us in the location that we're in for a reason. Listen, trust God to use you where you are. A lot of times we think, if I was here or if I was here, I wish I could have gone to the school on the other side of town. Or I wish I had this job over here. And no, where you are, serve God. Whatever you do, do it with all your heart, with all your mind, as unto the Lord. And then be used by God. Now, you talk about the gifts of service, teaching, and encouragement. How could you use that in your location? Is there somebody in your neighborhood that needs encouragement? Perhaps God wants to use you. And even more, could it be that through that encouragement, that person's heart is open to the gospel. He has put you where you are in your neighborhood. So what about where you are in this city? Perhaps there's a role in our city that God wants you to fulfill. Some of you may have a gift of leadership that God wants to use in our city government or in some role in our community of service. How could you serve? How could you encourage? How could you use these things in this city? What about the United States of America? God has put us here for a reason, hasn't He? I hope you vote. But God has put us here to make a difference. I hope you pray for our country. I know many of you do. You've told me that. But we have been put here to be salt and light in our country. I got fired up last week a little bit because I just was thinking about the issue. There's so much compromise in terms of the Word of God in our nation. People are trying to be politically correct. We need to speak the truth and let the chips fall where they may. He has put us here where we are for a reason. This particular place for a specific service, a specific encouragement or teaching or whatever the case may be, fulfill God's purpose for your location. Secondly, He has purposes not only for your location, He has purposes for your job. Now, I realize some of you are retired here today, or some of you may not be old enough to have a job. That's okay. God can still use you as you go about your regular daily activities, and you can apply it to that. But if you have a job, what service, what teaching, what encouragement could you provide? I remember I worked years ago at a steakhouse. I had a buddy there. We were busboys together. And I can tell you some interesting stories about that if you want to talk to me about it afterward. But one thing he would do that I thought was super, when it was slow, and he'd be bussing tables, he would come to a table, and if there was somebody sitting across the way, he would say, "You see this table?" You know, and they'd say, "Yeah." He'd say, "This dirty table is what my heart was like." And then he would clean it up real quick, and he would say, "See this table? This is what my heart's like since Jesus saved my soul." Isn't that great? I love it. Now, he wasn't loafing. He was fulfilling. He was doing his work. He was, you know, he was fulfilling his employer's reason for hiring him, okay? But he was witnessing to this man on the job. If you have a break at work, you can use that break to talk to people about the Lord as He provides opportunity. I know sometimes people are not at the place where they want to talk about Christ on their break. They may be tired or they may be disgruntled or for a number of reasons. But I remember one man at that same steakhouse, as a matter of fact. He was a middle-aged man who had lost his job, and he was working at the steakhouse until he could find a more steady and lucrative way of supporting his family. And we were sitting there on break one day, and I was a teenager, and I felt led to talk to him about Christ. And so I said, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Do you know if you'd go to heaven when you die? He said, "No, I don't." And I said, "Well, would you like to?" He said, "I would. Would you like me to share with you now?" I would. We're very brief because we were on break. We had a very brief presentation of the gospel. I said, "Would you like to think about this some more, or are you ready to pray right now?" He said, "I'm ready to pray right now." And we prayed there together, and he gave his heart to Christ. Well, I didn't know anything about follow-up. I was a teenager. And so a few days later, I come back to work, and he said, "Hey, Roger," he said, "I took my family to church Sunday. I'm scheduled to get baptized." Is that not awesome? Listen, I want to tell you something. God can use you where you are in your job. I've told you this story one time. When I was in the military, I had a fellow. I asked him. I said, "Hey, do you go to church anywhere?" Or and he got mad and he said, "No." He said, "And we can't talk about this and be friends." So, okay. But I began to pray for him. And over the course of time, God's conviction fell so strongly upon his life. I was praying for him. We had a group of men who would meet once a week who were praying for him. He fell under such conviction. One day he told me, he said, I can't stop thinking about this. I didn't say a word to him. He started asking me questions. Now, those are isolated incidents, okay? And I've told you all two of them that I've had in my work career, okay? But I will say this, though. We need to be open to be used in our workplace. And we need to look at people as more than just somebody we're working with, but as somebody who matters to Jesus Christ. Put them on your prayer list. Invite them to church. Love them. Serve them. Some people make a profound impact for Christ because of what they do for other people. And people's hearts open to the gospel. How could you serve God at your job? I heard years and years ago, I was at a conference and I heard this guy, he was the CEO of a large company, and he was sharing about his struggles of serving God in the church. He said, I'm so busy. I work all these hours every day. I have no time. And he said, I was kind of agonizing over how do I serve God in the position that I'm in. And God laid it on his heart to begin to minister to the people at his workplace. And he began to ask people that he worked with. He said, hey, he said, I'm a Christian. He said, I'd like to pray for you. And would you mind, just kind of, if you have a need or something, would you just bring that to me? I'm going to put you in my notebook. I'm going to pray for you. And he began to do that. Well, then he had people bringing him requests and so forth. And then he got some men who were interested in meeting before work. And since they all worked the same company, they all started at the same time. It was very, very early in the morning. But they met together before work, and he began to mentor some of these men. When somebody in his office would die, would have a family member die, he would call them on the anniversary of that death to minister to them and show love to them. And God used him profoundly. There were some people that came to Christ, and many people were blessed and encouraged, and others in his company began to do the same thing. So it really is amazing what God can do through us if we're just available to be used. And so all of us are wired a little differently. You don't have to do it in a cookie cutter way, but just ask God, say, Lord, I'm available to be used in my workplace. Would you guide me and show me how best to serve and love these people that I work with and to speak your truth into their lives? It's a powerful thing. So, fulfilling God's purposes. He has purposes for your location, for your job, thirdly, for your family. This is one of the profoundest areas of ministry you can have. The specific purpose, specific place of service. Did you know God put you in the family that you are, that you're in for a reason? You may say, well, I'm not sure I'm too happy about that. Listen, I know people who've had questions about that. I don't know why God would put me in this family. I want to tell you that God's put you in your family strategically. And in some ways, he may prepare you through your family. In other ways, he may use you to minister to your family. A few years ago, two of my uncles were talking with my dad, and my dad just felt impressed to share Christ with them. He said, hey, I just feel strongly impressed, like I need to talk to you guys about your faith. And, I'm not seeing fruit in your lives, and could I talk to you about Jesus? And they said, yes, and he led them to Christ. And one of my uncles was so changed that his wife told my dad he died just a short time later. His wife told my dad at the funeral, I've had a different husband these last few weeks. He's completely different. God changed his heart. Now, it might not be in evangelism that you're used. It might be in training. All parents are supposed to train their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, right? We're supposed to teach our kids the things of God, help prepare them to be effective. Of course, we can't save them. God has to do that. They have to make that choice themselves. But we can equip them so that when they are saved, they have some tools to use in their walk with God. But the family is much more than that. We can be used by God to impact each other. We can use our spiritual gifts in our families. You can pray. You know, if you think you're going to have a difficult meeting with your family, pray about it in advance, right? Have you ever dreaded, you know, going to see somebody? Let's pray about it in advance. Ask for a peaceful, enjoyable time. But more than that, pray that God would use you in those people's lives. Could God do that? Absolutely. Absolutely. As we're willing to be used, God can profoundly use us in the lives of our family members. A lot of times we don't see it right away, do we? You sow that seed, and you don't see fruit. But then there comes that wonderful day where that seed takes root, sprouts, and begins to bear fruit. Isn't that exciting? And we see what God is doing. One great way to minister to your family is simply to pray for them. Pray for your family members, especially your immediate family members, by name. And if one of them is struggling with something, spend a little extra time as God leads you, praying for those specific person and those specific issues that that person is facing. Pray for your protection, God's protection over your kids' lives. I'm convinced that my mother prayed me out of a whole lot of trouble that I would have gotten into otherwise. She was diligent in that. But speak as God leads you to speak with your family. Serve as God leads you to serve. Some of these things like love your enemies. You say, well, can you have an enemy in your family? Sure. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Could you, as a child of God, through the love that you show to a family member, change their heart? God ultimately will change their heart, but God could use you. Listen, make sure that you fulfill God's purpose in your family. I'm convinced that some of the most significant ministry we ever do is done within the home. Such an important thing. So he has purposes for your location, your job, your family, your church. God has purposes for South Clinton Baptist Church. Do you believe that? I do. And there's a reason he sent you to this church. I heard Adrian Rogers years ago preach a message, and he said, God didn't create you to sit and soak. He says, because when you sit and soak, you sour. And when you sour, you stink. So instead, you need to serve. Listen, God has placed us where we are in this body of believers for a reason. It may be giving. It may be encouragement. It may be teaching. It may be some service that we do. It might be picking up trash. Hopefully there's not trash in the parking lot, but probably not with Arnie around, but you know, if you see trash and you pick up trash. I mean, it could be anything. But God has put you here to serve at South Clinton Baptist Church. I believe that with all my heart. God led you here. He has a purpose for you to fulfill in this place. Use those gifts. God, how could I be a blessing to other people in this body of believers? Or how could I be a blessing to the visitor who has shown up at our church? Right? Could there be? You know, sometimes people come to church for the first time. That's a hard thing. They don't know anybody. It's strange, you know, maybe to them. And as you encourage that person and welcome that person, it makes a great difference. And many of you do that, and I'm very grateful for that. But perhaps God would lay upon your heart to do something to minister to the people that come into this sanctuary to worship God. Or what about the purposes of outreach in our church? Perhaps God would want you to be a part of one of our outreach programs and so forth. I realize some of those things aren't being done right now because of COVID. But God has put us here for a reason. So make sure you're active in the church. The church is something special. I know it gets criticized, right? People have bad experiences. If you've ever tried to do ministry in the community, you're going to come across somebody who says, I had a bad experience at church, right? But can I tell you something? The church is a special group of people because it's the people of God. When Satan has his agents too, okay? And I understand that. But when God's people are walking filled with the Spirit, it can be one of the most nourishing, edifying blessings we could ever have. Isn't it a wonderful thing to come to the house of God and be refreshed? I can remember times before I became a pastor where I would just come into a service. A lot of times it'd be the midweek service. I'd come into that service and just kind of be like, what a week I've had. And, you know, just get refreshed. Being with God's people and worshiping God and talking with God's people. What a blessing. What a blessing. So come to church to get blessed, because that's part of what happens. But also come to church to bless other people. If everybody just comes to church to get blessed, you know what happens? Nobody gets blessed. We also have to be aware of each other. So make sure you use these gifts that God's given you. And then finally, not only does God have purposes for your location, your job, your family, your church, He has purposes for your gifts. Now, you say, well, you've been talking about gifts this whole time. Yeah, I understand that. But the reason I put this separately is sometimes God may give you a gift that you use in an unusual way. God is a God of creativity, and He doesn't create any two people exactly alike. And so He may have an unusual purpose. And I tell you, how many of you have ever seen the movie Fireproof or Facing the Giants? Anybody? Okay. These movies, and there's a couple more that have come out, were done by an individual who is a staff member at a church. God began to burden him that he needed to begin to make Christian movies as a ministry. And he wrestled with it for a while and prayed through it. And then he went to his pastor and he said, Pastor, I've got to resign. God has called me to make movies for the kingdom of God. He said, well, why don't you just stay on staff and do it here? You know, and so he did, and that's why it's called Sherwood Pictures, because he stayed in his local church and did that ministry. But you may have a ministry that is outside the church that does a lot of great good for the kingdom of God. One of my favorite ministries is Campus Crusade for Christ, now called CREW. Okay, years ago when I was in college, I was introduced to that program, and they witnessed to people on college campuses, and they've made a real impact for the kingdom of God. So I guess I just put this last point here. God's given you a specific purpose to fulfill with your gifts to show you that it may not just happen at church. It needs to happen, you know, we need to have some gifts used at church. But God may bring you kind of out of the box, so to speak, and He may use you to do some things outside the church, in the community, because He's gifted you to do it. And if you do it, you will make a difference for the kingdom of God. And so just be open. Recognize that one little word here that's used, repeated with each of these three gifts we've talked about today. Gift of service and the gift of encouragement, and the gift of teaching. All three of these gifts are prefaced with this article. The specific role within this gift. What is your specific role? God may keep you in one type. Listen, I don't even believe two pastors are the same. Some of you could probably give testimony to that. Those of you who've been here for a while and you've known other pastors who pastored this church. And every pastor is different. Every pastor has different gifts, different gift mix. Some things will stay the same, need to stay the same, such as the gospel needs to be preached and so forth. But there'll be different styles. There'll be different ways of doing ministry. Why? Because God's made us different on purpose. And that's a good thing. David said in Psalm 139, Lord, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you believe that? Do you believe you're fearfully and wonderfully made? It's true. You are made in the image of God. God has crafted you in your mother's womb for his purpose. I can't think of anything more awesome than that, to fulfill the purpose God has for you. Fulfill it to his glory. Fulfilling God's purposes. He has purposes for your location, your job, your family, your church, your gifts. Just tell him, Lord, I'm available to be used for your kingdom. Lead me, empower me, and help me in the process. And if you know Christ, God will help you. He'll come alongside you and help you do these things. If you don't know Christ, he's made a provision for you to come into relationship with him and to have a sense of purpose. I remember before being a Christian, I didn't have much of a sense of purpose. It's just, I was kind of going from day to day, week to week. No sense of purpose. And when I came to Christ, when I began a relationship with Christ, all that changed. And for the first time in my life, I was so stoked. I had all this purpose in my life. I was ready to charge hell with a water pistol. I mean, I was just excited. I was in fifth grade, okay? I got a stack of tracks, and I went and I put a track on every single desk in my schoolroom. I'd probably be expelled for that today. But people looked at me like I was from Mars. I mean, you know, some were appreciative, but a lot of them look at, this guy has lost his mind. But I was just that excited. I was excited because I was, for the first time in my life, I was filled with a purpose that mattered for eternity. And I've never been the same. So if you don't know Christ, God has made a way. Jesus lived the perfect life that you and I couldn't live. He died the death at Calvary as a payment for our sins. And he rose again in mighty power. And the Bible says, because of Jesus, in him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. God will forgive your sin. He'll make you his child. He'll give you eternal life. He'll give you a home in heaven when you die. You must make a choice by faith to turn from your sin in your own way, to follow Jesus and receive this gift of eternal life. If you'd like to do that this morning, I just want to encourage you to call out on God right where you are in your heart. Lord Jesus, I need you. I choose to turn from my sin today by your grace, by your help, and I choose to follow you. I receive the gift of eternal life, and I trust you to keep your promise and save my soul. And if that's your heart today, and you've done that, please let me know. If you need some more help, if you'd like to talk with me further about it, I'll be here after the service. I'd be happy to talk with you about that further. And may God richly bless you. I want to know, if you've made that decision, please let me know whether you're online or whether you're here in this building today so that we can pray for you. I've got a list of new believers that I pray for from time to time. And also, I want to give you some new materials to help you grow in your walk with God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the amazing purpose that you have given us as your people. Father, help us to be alert to the ways that we can be used in this world. Help us name the name of Jesus openly. Help us stand for you, but help us love people and help us serve people.